This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Welcome. I think we'll get started here. Small crowd here. We have Gary Miller, who will be sharing about chairing nonprofit boards. Good to see you all here. Gary grew up in Hutchinson, and he said, make sure that people know he's not Gary the writer from Idaho. So it's a different Gary Miller, so I'm assuming he gets that quite a bit. Gary was ordained minister in Center Amish Mennonite in 76. He also spent 12 years of his life in teaching high school. Gary's been quite involved with boards there at Pilgrim. He has served as board member, treasurer, and ministerial representative over a period of 25 years. He's also been chair of two mission boards. More recently, Gary was put on the board at Faith Builders there, the educational program, and he is still chairman there today. So Gary brings quite a bit of experience and stories, probably, about his experiences. So he has much to say to us, so let's give him our full attention. Gary.
Well, I thank you all for coming. It's a blessing to see you here and to think about the work of boards. One of the things that's true about boards is that we serve outside of the public eye. We meet in the evenings or the daytimes, whenever, without a big group of people there, and sort of like the human heart that quietly keeps doing its work minute by minute and hour by hour, so it is that boards function outside of the human eye and perform a very valuable service to the communities that we serve, the churches we serve, the nation that we indwell, and so on. Across America, much philanthropy, much good work, and around the world goes the church under the direction of willing people who devote their time to serve on boards. And what is the function of a board? A board essentially, well, let's just start in at least in an introductory way. A board exists for the purpose of checks and balances. Many a CEO or administrator might just well wish that he could do without a board because decision making wouldn't be so cumbersome. But when a group of men comes together, or perhaps ladies in some cases, comes together to sit to hear the needs and to work through the issues, they represent the constituents, the community or the communities, and as they represent the Lord and His people, in the case of Christian ministries, there is a check and a balance, so that the administration of a school or an institution or nonprofit, a mission, is like the executive branch of the United States government. And the board fills the function pretty analogously to the legislative branch. And so the board sets the policies and the administration carries things out. I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads as we pray the Lord's blessing and inspiration. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to think about what you give us to do when we serve on the boards of nonprofit ministries. And I pray that you would bless not only the board members, but those that are called to chair such work, that you could help us all to faithfully lead in this way, and in a way that represents you and the trust that people give to us, that the ministries could bring you much glory and be fruitful in the kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I suggested, I have to admit that I'm Gary the Less. There are two Gary Miller writers. One is from North Carolina, who wrote Shaking Hands with Mr. Parkinson's, and the other, Gary Miller, who's written quite a few books, especially in the financial world. And I have my roots in Kansas, and my full name is Gary Paul Miller, And so perhaps I should be using that a little bit more as a way to navigate some of these meetings. Chairing nonprofit boards. Never think that someone is losing time by stopping to sharpen his axe, said Abraham Lincoln one time. And that's very similar to what Solomon said. He said in Ecclesiastes 10:10, a dull axe requires great strength. Be wise and sharpen the blade, according to the Living Bible. Chairing nonprofit boards. I'm going to use a little bit of a different definition here that gets us started. The chairman plays a critical role in managing the oversight of a nonprofit ministry. I probably need to be a little careful here because managing could be misunderstood because it's the administration of a nonprofit, the administrators that really are the managers, but the chairman can manage the board of directors. So in that way, he plays a critical role. And a well-functioning board of directors requires a board chairman who's an advocate, that is, an advocate in the constituency, in the community that he serves. And he is also a delegator, that is, he, together with the directors, delegate to the administration and to the staff the work of the nonprofit. And he's a diplomat. Sometimes things come up that need to be settled, need to be worked through. So there's just a number of skills that are needed here in chairing the work of nonprofits. So we've got the board, and again, I use the term board of directors. We ought to be careful to think about directors to be policy setting in responsibility. And sometimes I hear of a certain administrator in certain nursing homes and so on that's called director because maybe they've already used the word administrator for another position and it begins to be confusing. But the terminology I think that's the purest and the best, if we can understand what we're talking about, is that the board of directors are the ones that sit on the board and then the administration and staff have a different function, and that function is to carry out the policies and accomplish the work. The chairman's role, back to the chairman, is to know the board and staff roles, as I've already been introducing them, and to delegate accordingly. He helps directors understand their governance role. And when we talk about governance differing from management, we know that you develop policy in the board level, you implement policy on the staff level. And governance deals with the what questions and the management the how. In other words, they carry it out. And then the governance would be the discerning, and then the administration would be the acting. And governance would be thinking, and the management would be the doing. And the governance would be like the head and illustrated for management by the hands. And then while the board chair has the main responsibility of keeping the board focused on substantive issues, all members can share the responsibility. So a number of things on this slide coming forth, but the chairman's role first is to know the functions of the board compared to the functions of management. And then another responsibility here is keeping the board focused these concepts are both aimed at knowing what should be spent, what we should spend time on. Many organizations, says Edgar Sayes, this is a German Mennonite, at least by heritage, who has served as a chair of Habitat for Humanity International. He said, many organizations, sad to say, live too much in the present. I believe the board's domain is in the future. And while I quote him here, I'll just say that I like his writing. This is in a notebook form. Our board has gone through this book together, and that's why it's been in the notebook. But if you're interested, I saw a box of these books up in room 408 where Merle Herr was handing them out this morning. So that'd be a good way to get a hold of one if you like. And I'm going to be quoting a number of times from this book, Doing Good, Even Better. The chairman's role, secondly, is to build participation. Chairmen set the stage. They welcome everyone, creating a relaxed setting in meetings and other exchanges. So we all do it probably in different ways, but to build participation, the board works as a unit, and so we share information with committee chairpersons, if there are subcommittees on our boards, and or administrative team members. And then we involve the staff as is appropriate and support them in our board work. The chairman's role is obviously, we think of this probably first, to preside at all meetings. And he's the master of ceremonies. He's host. And so he seeks to make everybody welcome at the meetings. He keeps the program focused. He may not do most of the presenting. Depending on the situation, he may do more, but it works well if there's some division of responsibilities and, say, the board and the chief administrator or the CEO would work it together. The CEO often does the presentation of a certain point or program report, and then the board keeps his ears open, and he moves it forward from point to point and brings the board to action if there are action points needed. He's a timekeeper, attempting to distribute the limited time across the whole agenda. And he leads the board to a consensus. He learns to take the ideas, and if we can develop an atmosphere of trust in our boards, then people won't be afraid to speak up. Even if there's some difference of opinion that's coming out, people can bring them up, these ideas, so that there is no fear of conflict, and that any conflict that there is around ideas. And so he leads the board to consensus. If a second issue surfaces, the board separates the two, and leading to keep the board focused. Chairs are expected to lead and not to dominate. I would love if this would turn into a classroom session here, although it's probably not the best use of our time this afternoon for me to just elicit from you. It may take three times as long to get us to the kind of coverage of the material that I would like to have if I just lead out like this. But in the end, I promise you, I'm going to, time permitting and I manage well enough, I would like to hear from you on things that spark through this presentation. So we are expected to lead, to not be too shy, but we don't want to dominate. Chairing nonprofit boards, I'm reviewing here on these first three. Know the board and staff roles, the governance versus management. Build participation and preside at meetings so that all things can be done decently and in order and, of course, to the glory of God. Fourthly, the chairman's role is to acquire and communicate information. So his non-meeting role, say it's between the official board meetings, requires good communications, whether that would be a local board and it could be given by person in person or it be by email or telephone. He keeps others informed. And the chair represents the board when it's not in session, but here we need to be careful. While we do serve as the administrator's supervisor and as the board's spokesperson, a board chair may sometimes be tempted to overstep. He needs to be careful not to take the place of the board unless he knows that the board has already taken a position, has already made a determination. There's nobody on the board, the chairman included, that should undertake to make decisions in the board's place. Board members have authority only when they're involved in an official meeting, and so we want to be very careful. I urge very great carefulness here that board chairmen stay in their proper places. The chairman's role: understand the mission and communicate it to supporters and key constituents. A board chairman, like other directors, should openly advocate the cause. He should speak in public, not hesitate to speak in public on behalf of the organization. He could be one of the good lobbyists for the organization, and of course, in a lot of ways, the face of an organization of about any nonprofit is going to be the chief administrator, as far as that's concerned. But the board chairman can certainly play a role. And he can provide leadership in activities and in events and be visible in the community. This makes for a good chairman or leader of an organization. Let's differentiate a little bit between vision and mission. A vision states the purpose for which an organization exists and for what it wants to become. So there's sort of a future emphasis here. It's a dream. It's a goal. But the mission is what an organization commits itself to do. This is more feet on the ground kind of practical. This is what we're doing every day of the year as we do our ministry. And this is quoted from Edgar Stays again, the author of Doing Good Even Better. The sixth one is to raise funds. I think all of us Mennonites were born and raised to raise funds. And I hear somebody laughing, chuckling back there. Yes, I know that sometimes we might just kind of, many times, it's within us to shrink back some here. But as representatives of Christian ministries, I think you will agree with me that we have a certain responsibility and that it is good for us to learn how to communicate how the Lord's work and our mission are in need of people's support and to be a bridge builder to those that can help us and can participate, can partnership with us. And so it is that we also have a responsibility to lead, to raise funds. And the board chairman leads out. He's a financial giver. And as God blesses, maybe a lead financial giver. But he provides support and he encourages his team to be participants in fundraising. And Gail Gifford of How Are We Doing wrote this, and this is this booklet. Every single director of a nonprofit should make a donation to their organization, no exceptions. And how much should we give till it feels good? You know, we really ought to be involved in a board position where we really do believe in this work. And we're willing to invest ourselves in time and in funding as the Lord blesses. And if we've got one and not the other, maybe we're going to have time if we're going to be on the board. But so raising funds, part of the chairman's role. All board members have a more legitimate an influential role than staff because they're volunteers, they're colleagues perhaps, or friends of the people that they might go to invite to help. And so board members have a stronger position in fundraising than staff members who are on the payroll. Most boards delegate to staff jobs, though, that require specialized skills like direct marketing. So, again, this set of three I'd like to review just a little. Chairman, acquire and communicate information. So, you're right. The chairman's the one that's sending out the email. Okay, now we need to consider this. Or we've got this board meeting coming and so on. So, chairman, do this kind of communicating. And chairman, understand the mission and communicate it to supporters. And related to that, chairman, raise funds. And Hebrews says this: do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Chairman also, it falls on chairman often, and rightly so, to recruit replacement directors. Directors who are qualified, competent, and representative. Representative, that is, of the constituent groups that that support the ministry or the institution. An effective chair gives orientation to new directors. So at the first annual opportunity, if you've seated a director that year, then for the chairman and that new person to come a half a day early or several hours early, however you can arrange that, and then hand him the board manual and hand him, maybe you're going to hand him some resource like one of these books if you'd like to, but just give him, to spend an hour with him or two and give him orientation so that he can start to feel a little bit more like he knows. And then let the administrators take his 2 hours to explain the work of the ministry in more in more of a hands-on way, or what it, however it can work. But work, be open to giving orientation to your new man. It'll be a big help, and it'll help him, not only him but you as he begins to pick up and can contribute. So personal qualifications for board members is to be compatible with the organization's goals and values. So one of the things that we make sure to go over when we have orientation is the vision and mission and the core values statement. And I've included Faith Builders, a page in one of the handouts. There are what we've worked on and what we hand out now. So just as an example, you probably have something or are wanting to work on something like that. I certainly encourage that kind of thing. It took us a weekend after an annual board meeting or one of our semi-annual board meetings. We took Friday night and Saturday and worked on those things, and so now we're thankful to have it. And we may be needing about due for an update. Personal qualifications, compatible with the goals and values, at peace with himself, able to participate constructively while retaining independence of thought, and professional competencies that assist the board in doing its entire task. So it could be that we know of a Christian brother that's at peace with himself, he's supportive in the constituency, and he's got accounting background, and that would help us to round out our team. That would be an excellent choice. But a breadth with some men that are ordained on our boards, or with mission experience, or you know, and then. But let's also be sure that our men are men that are respected in the constituency, and if there are constituencies, that we have the mix of supporters represented on the board as best as we can. Representative of the constituency served by the organization, yes. So organizational effectiveness begins with people. Our success comes from the abilities and faithfulness of the people running our nonprofit entities. You know, I think of some things as kind of piecemeal sometimes, but right now on this point, I would just like to say that one of the things that is good to consider is when's the right time to ask this person. And so maybe it's when you are going to be able to go to his area if he doesn't live in your area. Or if watch the time of the year, maybe it wouldn't be the wisest time to recruit a director in a time that you know he's either busy at work, or maybe it's just the Christmas season or whatever. So work at some timing questions. How much time do I have, James?
You are still at about 15 minutes.
Good. All right, the new board member's role. He shall respect all that has gone before, the precedents and policies, but he shall not be intimidated. His vote shall count equally with the vote of the most experienced director. So it's good for us who are chairman and more experienced on the board to recognize and extend that kind of value. cautions in director recruitment. Is the candidate's lifestyle in harmony with the organization? Let's beware of someone who brings his own agenda. Let's beware of Lone Ranger directors. And remember that board work is a team game. So maybe we can't figure all of that out, but let's be careful that we build a team with shared vision and willingness to put our shoulders to the wheel. Recruiting directors, remember that organizational greatness begins with people, and it's imperative to get the right people on the team. Maybe I'm overemphasizing that. I don't hope I am. Let me just admit right here that this isn't all that could be said, probably all that should be said, but these are some of the things that I think can help to keep us on the right track. The eighth out of nine is to evaluate performance. This is probably the thing that doesn't develop the quickest for us as chairman, but it's something that I've been learning and something that probably some of you are doing well in. We need to lead I think it's good for us and healthy for us to lead the board in self-assessment. And I've included some self-assessment possibilities in the handout back there. And there are self-assessment questions and so on in this book. The self-assessment that I had included in the handout is a revision of the which one of these books? I think it is this one. It is out of this. How Are We Doing? A One-Hour Guide to Evaluating Your Performance by Gail Gifford. And so let's keep going here now again. And we need to assess the performance of the chief executive. It's good to do this annually. And to recognize good performance. And there are, in the handouts that I've given you, some ideas for assessment. There are other good ones too, and again, some ideas in here doing good even better. And so that's a play on a nonprofit doing good and to sharpen our tools. You know, it's like sharpening our axe. It's good for us to spend a little time like this and to share the credit and share the risk. And finally, a good chairman will identify his successor. And maybe this isn't something that needs a lot of time, because maybe it's pretty easy to do, to transfer, to figure out somebody. But I know my predecessor on one of the boards that I've served on said that he served for about 9 years, and then he needed to get off because of term limits. But all through those 9 years, seemed like nobody said, there's nobody else that wants to, and I can't do it, and so on and so forth. So he sort of felt like he was kind of, trapped. And so when he got towards the end, and he knew that he needed to find a successor, then he did some little leg work like this, and he identified and developed board members for future leadership. And he did so knowing that it takes the full board's vote. It's not just his decision, right? But he did a little advance work, and that kind of thing can be wise, lest the board just kind of comes into a, boy, what do we do now? Kind of thing, although the Lord will help you find your way through. But it's wise to do a little thinking ahead so that it isn't too uncomfortable when it starts, when it's necessary to happen. And it's not the chairman's role to make that appointment, but if he knows that there's some possibility here, maybe he can help guide it if needed. Chairing nonprofit boards, reviewing these last three points, recruit qualified, competent, and representative directors, evaluate performance. I encourage you to develop that if it's needed in your organization, and then find your successor. Edgar Stays again says that apart from people, an organization is only a shell. It knows nothing, it can do nothing. What an organization is capable of doing resides in the abilities of the people who run it. Now, here are some dangers for chairman. And I don't know for sure that I need to say this to you here, but maybe it doesn't hurt. If the chairman gets involved in the operations, in the management, getting down into the trenches, you know, it's kind of fun to do that kind of thing sometimes, but especially in startup or in transition times. Maybe, you know, the administrator is leaving 2 months before the new one comes and the chairman kind of fills in. So, yes, there are some of those things that can happen, but then we can get used to liking to do it, or the other people start to depend on us to do that, but it muddies the waters here. And so we want to watch this danger, and it's natural for the chair to hang on to those powers after he's got it. So following the temporary involvement in management during a leadership void, it is important that the chairman clearly and publicly extend that responsibility and authority to the new CEO. He may need to step down from the position of chair or leave the board for the good of the organization. Wherever that's needed, I hope that can be understood and applied. Secondly, dominance. Many of the reasons a person is a good chair: passion for the mission, strong personality, conviction, he's action-oriented, are at the source of a second danger, and that's dominance. While being the volunteer leader, this person should be first and foremost an enabler, helping volunteers and staff step forward to do the job. Thirdly, the founder syndrome. Many nonprofits begin and succeed based on the commitment and talent of one person, the founder. The founder syndrome is the continued dominance by the founder, even though the organization needs to move to a new generation of leaders. The founder can be involved in resource development, but step down from any staff or volunteer leadership position that could dominate or overshadow the current human capital of the organization. Founder syndrome, dominance, and involvement in the operations. Just a few warnings there. Directors hold a nonprofit in trust for God, the community of constituents, and the government. So it is that board members are legally and financially responsible for other people's money and other people's people. If it's a volunteer organization or even a paid staff organization, board members are legally and financially responsible, so it doesn't fit for directors to sit at the board table and say, I don't care at all about all those financial things. I really want to know what the ministry is doing for people's hearts. I want to be balanced enough to say that we all have different strengths, so somebody might not be quite as helpful in understanding those things, but let's not diminish the value or the responsibility that we have as board, as directors, who stand in for the constituents who are donating the money and donating the people, supporting us in every way. Let's be careful to stand in and say, you know, this area looks great and this area needs this help and so on. So while we don't micromanage, we still have the overall responsibility. So I recommend this resource that I've been talking to you about, How to Be an Effective Board Member, Doing Good Even Better. And here is the cover. And these additional resources, How Are We Doing by Gail Gifford, and The Ultimate Board Member's Book by Cale Sprinkle Grace, and Meetings That Work by Alexander Strouch, and I would like to introduce this a little bit. This is written by an elder in the Plymouth Brethren movement. It's a low church, not a, low church view. It's a nonconformist. They are known for the nonconformity, and biblicism. So a lot of things in common, and our minister's team at home has gone through this book, meetings that work, spent the time to go about 5 or 6 pages at successive minister's meetings. Thank you. And we found it very helpful and very sound. I don't think we found anything that we said, oh, strike that, that doesn't quite fit in a Baptist. Maybe we missed something, but if you want something for the minister, for that level, I encourage you to consider that book. And then Making Committees Work by Mac Tennyson, and the cover that I found on that doesn't quite match the one I found. I think the book's out of print now. I found a used book, and it's got a different cover that's here. And I would say that the first two are especially about boards, and the Doing Good Even Better. Those would be the three for boards especially. And then for elders meetings that work, Alexander Strouch's book is the best. This one has kind of the last mention.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.